We're going to turn our attention to the draft for a few moments and turn to one of our favorite guests who does a great job of covering the draft, previewing the draft for ESPN. He is a college football and NFL draft analyst for ESPN. Kevin Weidel on the line with us. Kevin, how are you? Thanks for coming on the air with us.
Great, Joe. I'm doing great. How have you been?
Doing well. Kevin, a former quarterback for Indiana Pennsylvania University. He was a pro scout for the Jets and then joined Scouts, Inc. in 2007. And you work with Todd McShay at ESPN a lot, right, Kevin?
Yeah, the last 7 years, me and we worked close together. We have a small group, me, Todd, and Steve Mensch, who was up in, also up in the Boston area.
Now, how do you get assigned to Todd McShay and not Mel Kiper?
I'm sorry, John?
How did you get assigned to Todd McShay to work with Todd and not Mel Kiper? And what's the difference? What's the difference in within ESPN of the two of them, do you think, Kevin?
Got it made. He's got the studio down in the basement. Mel does his own work, and he does a great job, you know, but he's got his own little, I would say, paradise over there down there in Baltimore.
Huh. Do you think, we see it, and it's great theater to watch he and watch Todd McShay and Mel Kiper go at it from time to time, and we'll probably see more of that in the weeks ahead, the 5 weeks to the draft. Is that real, or is that just a TV fight, do you think, Kevin?
They have their disputes, and that's pretty real on TV, but they're great friends, and I've had a chance to meet Mel a few times, last couple drafts up there in Bristol, and he's a great guy. He is exactly what you see on TV, a lot of energy. Just a lot of energy with him. He's rarely sitting down, really sitting still. He's a fun guy to be around.
And I have one more question just about the kind of the nuts and bolts of your job, Kevin, before we get into the draft this year. Because I know for certain there's at least a handful of listeners tonight who are going to listen to you and your analysis and your take on the draft and think to themselves, I could do that. How do I get involved in that? How did you get involved in it? How do guys get involved in working for ESPN as a draft analyst, Kevin?
Well, like I said, I have an older brother that, is a scout with the Ravens, and I just kind of fell into it and kind of got set up with an internship with the Jets out of college. And, so I was looking for a younger guy, and one of the guys who had gone to Richmond with Todd and played with Todd, another scout with the Ravens that my older brother is friends with, and kind of recommended me. He gave me a call. We talked, and rest is history, I guess.
Well, it works to our benefit. We're on the line with Kevin Weidel, the NFL draft analyst for ESPN. And if you have a comment or a question for Kevin, phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. Kevin, the last time we talked to you, I think, was immediately after the combine. So more just about a month ago. Now we're into pro day season. And you see sometimes stocks go up and down based on pro days. Is that good evaluation to look at a guy's pro day and maybe rank him higher than you had before the pro day?
No, I always think you got to stick with the tape, John. I think 80% of the evaluations off the coach's copy tape. You know, these scouts and these front offices do their homework and watch the coach's tape. So obviously that's got to be 80%. But, you know, a guy like Teddy Bridgewater didn't have a strong pro day, is not getting a lot of buzz. And kind of a guy that, you're hearing a little bit, kind of falling a little bit. Certainly you go back to his tape, but, if he has a bad pro day, something's up. It brings up a little bit of red flags. I spoke with a general manager and a quarterback's coach within the league that were just kind of scratching their head at it. He's got great tape. This is just an example of Bridgewater. He's got great tape, but, not having the pro day, not playing against elite competition throughout his career, that brings up a few red flags. And then along with a slight frame, being 208 pounds, I think he was at the his pro day. The slight frame, the narrow shoulders, the narrow hips, that brings up a little bit of concern about his longevity in terms of durability at the next level.
Kevin, when you see what happened to Bridgewater and how his stock has gone down since his pro day, you say something's up. What could be up? What could happen? What could have happened to him at his pro day down there at Louisville a couple weeks ago?
You just have a little bit of concerns. Like I said, I spoke with a general manager earlier this week, and he said his best game, his best win throughout his career was against the unmotivated Florida team at the end of the 2012 and the Sugar Bowl team that was, had expectations potentially to play in the national championship, and after losing, one of their later games, came in without a lot of motivation. So the lack of competition brings up concerns. And then, why wasn't he ready? This should have been his day to go out there and kind of shine and wow scouts. And instead, it kind of went the opposite way, which is really unheard of. And and really uncommon. So it had a lot of people scratching their heads and wondering what was up in terms of preparation, in terms of this kid's ability to be ready and prepare and handle the pressure. Just a little bit in that area, just in regard of handling the pressures, is what brings up just a little bit of concern. I guess you would kind of file away and kind of go back to the tape and the drawing board with him.
And then on the other side of the quarterback issue, there's Johnny Manziel. What did you think of his pro day, and what do you think of those who make him the number one prospect in this year's draft, pretty much all of a sudden? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I wasn't there, but Todd was there, and other scouts that I spoke with, I heard it was unbelievable. It was he, hit a home run, which you should with your pro day. It's scripted. It's tailored to your strengths, and it's your kind of day to showcase what you can do. And certainly, if you're moving him up based off of pro day, I think it's the wrong way to do it in terms of evaluation. But, it's also part of the process. And I think it's important to keep it in perspective. I think someone that's going to take him early on is taking a huge leap of faith. I recognize his skill set. I recognize his excitement, his ability to improvise and create a lot of big plays. But with a lot of big plays comes a lot of big mistakes as well with this tape. A little bit undisciplined. You're always going to have the concern of, being an offensive coordinator, trying to let him go out and be Johnny Manziel, what makes him so special, and kind of reining him in within the confines of an offense. So, I think if you're going with Johnny Manziel early and banking on him to be your starting quarterback, you're taking a big leap of faith. And, some teams will like that excitement, and other teams will kind of shy away from it. Really, Manziel's been probably the most polarizing prospect that I've ever, evaluated. In a situation, I have scouts telling me they can't stand him. I have scouts that are yelling at me, asking me why I wouldn't take him in the first round. I don't have him high enough. So, there's differing opinions all over the league. To me, I would look other ways. To me, the top guy and quarterback in this class is Blake Bortles. I think he has more of a presence. I think he's got more traits and more upside towards the NFL level, and I think he's more durable. So, Manziel's going to be interesting to see where he comes off the board. It's going to be fascinating to watch it on play as we get towards May here.
Hey, Kevin, I got another quarterback I want to ask you about, a guy that I got a chance to meet and actually watch at the Senior Bowl back in late January, Jimmy Garoppolo from Eastern Illinois. What do you think of him, and where's his place, where's his value in this year's draft?
Murph, I'm glad you brought that up, because I just got done watching tape of him this past Saturday, and I came away highly impressed. I think he's potentially one of the top three, top four quarterbacks in this class. You look at him, he's a guy that's got, a very, very smooth, quick release. And with that quick release, it comes from his feet. His feet are always tied to his eyes. Very active feet. And, anytime he's been working through progressions, his feet are always married to his eyes. And very active. Reminds me of I'm not comparing it to, but it reminds me a lot of, you see on, watching TV, Drew Brees, how he kind of gets through a progression to make those quick reads, able to get the ball out quickly. I think there's a lot of upside with him. Obviously he played in a different system, more spread system, so coming into the NFL, it's going to be more of a transition period, but I think this guy has all the tools, and from what I've heard from scouts, has the mental makeup, the football acumen, develop into a potential pretty good starter in the league if put in the right situation at the right place.
Yeah, I like him a lot, Kevin. Have you ever met him? Garoppolo?
I have not. I have heard nothing but good things.
We had him on the radio show at the Senior Bowl back in late January and, got a chance to talk to him, watched him work all week. Really impressive young man, very smart guy, and kind of serious-minded. There's a lot to like, I think, about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, he's got really good touch, too. I mean, with the fade routes, deep ball, he's got natural touch. There's a very catchable ball. I think he's got the tools to develop into a starter. He's a guy that I'm pretty high on after watching this tape this past weekend.
What do you think? Second round, third round for Garoppolo? Maybe high?
I think early second round. I wouldn't be surprised late first, but I think early second round, he could potentially be the third, fourth quarterback off the board.
Kevin Weidel, our guest. He is a draft analyst, NFL draft analyst for ESPN. You can phone in comments or questions for Kevin. He'll be with us for a couple of more minutes here, 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A call here from Alan in Lancaster. Alan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
In regard to Sean getting a wide receiver, it seems to me that if they're looking at a wide receiver, that they're not going to take a wide receiver, Mike Evans, with number 9, that they're looking at something else. And I would assume what they're looking at is to complete their offensive line with an offensive tackle, which I think is a very good idea, because not only does it give EJ protection, but it's going to really help the run game, and that's going to also be better for EJ. In addition, if you get a guy like Taylor Lewan, who is 6'7", faster than five of the tight ends in the combine, has a 32-inch vertical, has a history of being a tight end, you also have an opportunity to use him as in a tackle-eligible position in the red zone also.
Hmm, interesting. What do you think of those tackles, the big three tackles, Robinson, Matthews, and Lewan, Kevin? And how would you rank them, do you think?
I think they're all starters, to be honest with you, Murph. I think Robinson's has the most upside, most talent that I've ever watched in the 8 years I've been – this is the eighth draft class that's done this. I think Robinson from Auburn has the most upside athleticism that I've ever done in the 8 years I've been doing this. And I think Lewan and Matthews are close. I give the edge to Matthews. I still have a little bit more tape to watch on Lewan, but I think all three are potential starters, can come in and probably develop into starters quicker, sooner than usual, and I think maybe potentially all three could be starting as rookies their first year. So, I really think all three are very talented, and I think they're all worthy of, potential top 10 picks.
Kevin, Notre Dame's Zach Martin, do you view him as a tackle or a guard?
I think you bring him in and you line him up a tackle and see what he can do at tackle first, because it brings him the most value, and if he can't hold up with that length, you move him to guard, and you got a really good starting guard for the next 10 years. I really like Zach Martin. He's tough. He's got great technique. The only thing he's missing is the long arms. But, hey, Justin Pugh out of Syracuse last year didn't have long arms, and he did just fine for the Giants this year at right tackle.
On the line with Kevin Weidel. He works for ESPN. He is an NFL draft analyst along with Todd McShay at ESPN. Here's a call from Dan in Tonawanda. Hello, Dan. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thanks. Yeah, my question was based on the depth of this draft. Is there going to be – you think a lot of teams are looking to trade down, and is the value going to be better or worse than it has been a few years to try and move up to a better spot?
What do you think of that, Kevin? Trade up, trade down?
I think the first scenario is the right way. I think teams more so than ever are going to be trying to trade back and acquire more second, third, fourth round picks this year, because there is a ton of depth in this class. You look at the wide receiver position, it is probably the deepest class of any position this year. You look at it, 19 underclassmen declared. We have 14 of our top 16 ranked as underclassmen. So, there's a lot of playmakers to be mad on the outside. The offensive tackle is deep. Defensive tackle is pretty good. And you look at the secondary, I think the safety and defensive corner position, you're going to see a lot of depth in that rounds 2 through 4. So, I think teams more so than ever are going to be looking to trade back and kind of get those values, because I think you can find more starters than most normal years in rounds 2 through 4 this year.
Hey, Kevin, we talked after the combine about Texas A&M wide receiver Mike Evans, and last week I had a chance to talk with Doug Marrone and Doug Whaley. Doug Whaley was on his way to Texas A&M's Pro Day. I detected a lot of interest, almost excitement, about getting a look at Mike Evans last week. Is it my imagination, or has Mike Evans' stock risen in the last month or so?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he went to the combine, and the guy's got over 35-inch arms. He runs in the low 4.5s, high 4.4s, and he's a guy, you've watched the tape, he's an absolute pit bull when the ball's in the air. He attacks it. He's a guy that's a matchup nightmare downfield in the red zone. So, you're looking for that big physical receiver like I think Buffalo needs on the outside to kind of complement Robert Woods, who's, came into a pretty good player as a rookie, and has a lot of upside moving forward. But if you can get a guy like Mike Evans on the opposite side, take some tension away, I think, and help EJ Manuel, I think that'd be a very strong value, and wouldn't have a problem with Buffalo pulling the trigger there at number 9 overall.
Do the receivers come off the board, Watkins, then Evans, 1 and 2? Do you think that's the way it'll play?
Yep, I think that's the way it'll play. I know there's been some buzz about Evans going before Watkins, but I think Watkins is a special talent. I think he's an absolute number one receiver, and I think he's up there in the mold of kind of a Larry Fitzgerald. He catches everything with his hands. Physical, maybe a little bit faster than Fitzgerald, but he's a guy that I think is an absolute number one, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, Larry Fitzgerald type of player.
Are there any other receivers that you like a lot in this group? First, second round caliber receivers, Kevin?
No, I can go through a long list, Murph. This could take a couple minutes, but I'll give you a few. I think one's intriguing in the third round is Clemson's Martavis Bryant, the running mate with Watkins down there at Clemson. You look at him, just about 6'4", 211 pounds, fluid, flexible frame. This guy's got deer hips. Reminds me a lot of Chris Henry when he came out of West Virginia. Clocked in the low 4.4 range. I don't think he was a great fit in Clemson's system. It ran a lot of screens, horizontals. I think this guy has a very good vertical complement, and he's got speed to burn, not only stretching the field vertically, but if he can catch a seam after the catch. Another guy that's kind of a sleeper that I think is I'm hearing more and more positive buzz about, and he didn't get a ton of, you know, rep down there at Alabama, is Kevin Norwood out of Alabama, 6'2", 198. Amari Cooper gets a ton of buzz down there and all the other playmakers they have, and especially on the defensive side of the ball. But this, all this guy did was make big plays at big moments for them. I caught my eye at the Senior Bowl, caught everything. He's a good route runner, very good, I would say, ball skills in terms of adjusting to the ball in the air, strong in contested situations. And he's a guy that I think is going to be absolute steal if you can get him in the fourth round range out of Alabama, Kevin Norwood. Other guys, Bruce Ellington out of South Carolina, a slot receiver, natural feel for routes, gets in and out, breaks quickly, and finds those downfield seams. So those are three guys that I think in that day two, early day three range are going to be bring great value and great return.
Live on the line with Kevin Weidel. We got a few minutes left with Kevin. He is the NFL draft analyst for ESPN, and lines are open if you have a comment or question, 803-0550 or outside Buffalo toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Bills fans keeping an eye on the tight end pool as well, Kevin. And I came across an interesting thing. I think it was on NFL.com today. One NFL personnel executive who did not give his name says there really is not a good class of tight ends this year, and he doesn't like Eric Ebron out of North Carolina. He's been projected as possibly a top 10 pick. The quote from this unnamed AFC personnel executive on Ebron: he's okay. He's completely overrated. He's a pain in the butt, and don't ask him to block anybody because he's not going to do it. What do you think of Eric Ebron? Does that sound right?
No, I don't. And I think it's one person's opinion. You got to be careful about anonymous quotes because you don't know if this guy's a first-year area scout starting out, even an in-house scout as an intern, or if he's a director or general manager. You know, so it's just one opinion. You know, the scouts that I've talked to are high on him. I think he can be a big-time weapon. I think he's the best tight end in his class. I think he's going to be add an instant threat in the passing game. He's a guy, I think, it's a weapon in the passing game. You know, he's a guy that's got athleticism, the ability to adjust and create after the catch. He's got good play speed. He can run after the catch. He can make tough catches in contested situations. Is he going to be the best blocker? No, he's not. But if you're drafting him, you're drafting him, I think, for the value of adding another weapon to the passing game. And I think he'd be a strong addition to the Buffalo Bills in helping E.J. Manuel grow and develop. He'd be a good weapon to have, I think.
Is there any way to compare Ebron to two of the great tight ends in the game today, Graham or Gronkowski? I mean, is he anywhere near that sort of ability level?
Below, I would say he's a tier below that, but he's going to be a starter, and he's going to be a big value and a big contributor, I think, in the passing game at the next level. I'd say he's just a notch below Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham.
Here's a call from Rob in Cheektowaga. Hi, Rob. Welcome. You're on the air with Kevin Weidel.
How you doing, guys? Let's say that the Bills do go receiver in the first round. What tackles do you like on the right side that may fall to the second or the third for the Bills?
Interesting. Second, third-round tackle prospects. Who do you think could be there, Kevin? What do you think?
You know, a guy that's interesting is Jack Muhart out of Ohio State, 6'6", 309. Very good technique. You know, he doesn't have the best athleticism, but at right tackle, all you need is toughness. He's a guy that's got really good technique, good hands, strong hands. When he latches on, he can control people inside. So I think he's an option there at the right tackle position. Certainly would be the first guy that I would look at in that area. Brandon Thomas, I think, is more of a guard, has potential to play right tackle, maybe bring him in and see what he can do. And Joel Bitonio as well is another guy in the day two range that can potentially play a right tackle position out of Nevada. Played very well against Anthony Barr on tape. When you watched him, and did pretty good against the Florida State guys as well when you look at that film. So, you know, those are the three guys that could be potential options, I think, you know, right sitting right there in the day two range. And if you're getting into day three, you know, a guy like Billy Turner, maybe at North Dakota State in the later mid-rounds, could be an option as well to play at the right tackle position. You know, I think he's got really good inline power base, strength and toughness as a run blocker, can work on his technique a little bit more as a pass pro, but he's got a lot of development, mental value, I think, in that mid-day-three range.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Billy Turner. He caught my eye at the Senior Bowl just because of his size, but you could tell he's Turner from North Dakota State, a guy who'll probably take a year or two maybe to develop into a real good NFL tackle. Wouldn't you think, Kevin?
Yeah, you know, you kind of maybe take a redshirt year with him, let him develop, let him transition to the speed and the quickness of the NFL game coming up from North Dakota State, making that jump to the NFL. But he like I said, he's got developmental talent, and he's a guy you can come in and maybe work with, and then you have yourself a starter 2-3 years down the road here.
Interesting question. We talked about this on our show almost 2 weeks ago now, Kevin. I'm curious your take on this. Would it be all right to draft one of those three premium tackles at the top of the first round, or, you know, the Bill spot at number 9 there? I'm talking about Taylor Lewan, Greg Robinson, or Jake Matthews. With Cordy Glenn doing a pretty good job at left tackle, is it a waste to draft one of those three and plug him in at right tackle?
I think especially with Jake Matthews, the only one I would have concern maybe is Taylor Lewan. He's played left tackle, and I think he's a better fit at left tackle, projecting the next level, than he is at right tackle. But I think with Jake Matthews, you know, he played right tackle up until last year alongside Luke Jokel, who was at the left side. So I think with Jake Matthews, he's a guy that can come in and you know, fit in just fine because he has experience at the position. I'm going to tell you this, Murph. I don't think Greg Robinson's going to be there at 9 for you guys. So I think it would come down to Matthews or Lewan should one of those two fall. And I would lean more towards Matthews just being a better fit at right tackle since Cordy Glenn's doing playing at a pretty good level right now at the left tackle position.
Take one more call for Kevin Weidel. It comes from Brian in Davenport. You're on the air, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good.
Good. Hey, I got a question for the draft analyst. I'm from Iowa. I'm an Iowa Hawkeye fan. It's great to see Chandler and Moriaki on the team. Obviously, Kirk Ferentz has produced a lot of tight ends in the draft. And my question is, do you know anything about C.J. Fedorowicz?
He's a big kid. He's a guy that's a pretty good route runner. I think he's got strong hands, wide catching radius. I don't know if he's the fastest, 4.76. I think he's more of an intermediate to underneath tight end prospect in terms of a receiver. You know, he'll give you something in the run game, and I think he's squarely in that, fringe day two mix, probably come off the board somewhere in the fourth round for you, and someone's going to get a good, number two tight end in the league.
Thanks for your call. Hey, Kevin, thanks for spending so much time with us. We approach the draft, and as you can tell, folks around here are getting excited about what's coming up on May 8th through the 10th. Hope we get a chance to talk to you again before then. Thank you very much.
Hey, no problem, Murph. Anytime.
Kevin Weidel, the ESPN NFL draft analyst, college football reporter for ESPN, works with Todd McShay, and you can catch his work on ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin W. ESPN. Kevin Weidel, draft expert. Spent a lot of time with us going over a lot of players.